Hello and welcome to the Small Church Mentor Podcast, where we work to empower the pastors, leadership, and members of small churches to be what God wants them to be. Hi, I'm your host, Gary Fuhr, and I'm proud to serve you today. Today's topic, well, I'll be honest with you. Today's topic, I'm going to dive in and give thoughts and advice on a topic I don't know anything about. It's called paying the pastor. Today's topic, paying the pastor. And full disclosure, I'm not a paid pastor. As a matter of fact, I always joke and I say that I pay for the opportunity to pastor the church. For many years, I've been the highest tithe paying member in the church, and that's not necessarily to brag on myself. It's the blessings of God and in the income that I earn outside of the church. God's blessed me with a good job, and I make a decent income. So my tithe and the little offerings that we may trickle through the church, we try to give our offerings elsewhere too. But those usually write about a little bit more than most households in the church. And so, again, that's a blessing. It's not a bragging. However, I jokingly say that I pay for the opportunity to be the pastor in the church. And to some respects, that's there. Because if we didn't tithe for many years, there was only a few tithe-paying households in the church. The church would have closed down, and we wouldn't have the opportunity to be here today in a decent position that we're at. So I have prayed about it. I've considered it in the past, different positions where the pastor was paid. I have considered what would happen when or if God ever opens up the doors of this small church that I pastor and I was able to go full time. I kind of prayed about it, and how would I want that structured, and how would I want that put out there? So I've put a lot of time and energy into considering this topic. As long as we're going full disclosure, I said I'm not paid. However, the church does give us a little bit of money to go down to the conference that our church is associated with. And also once a year, my wife and the kids and I, myself, we go down to her hometown and just for about a week, and we enjoy the company down there. There's a lot of good people down there, and we enjoy being with them. And also, it gives me a chance to just kind of sit quiet, and just hear the voice of the Lord, kind of, not quite, but kind of a sabbatical of some sort. So we enjoy that quite a bit. And the church pays for that trip. The church pays for the trip down in the summertime for the convention that, again, of the churches that the association that we belong in. So I do get some. It's a small, a little bit, although it's, I say that, and I by no means do I mean that in an unappreciative way. I greatly appreciate the church doing that. I wanted to turn it down when the church voted on it, when the church brought it up to me. I wanted to turn it down and not take it, to be quite honest with you. My whole life has just been a volunteer in the ministry, and it was kind of difficult for me to take it. But somebody talked to me years and years ago when I first started preaching, and I was at their church, and they took up an offering for me, and I tried to refuse it. And he brought me up to the place, and he schooled me, if you will, on what the Apostle Paul meant when he said it's needful for you to give. It's not that I have a need, but you need to give. And he schooled me on that, and he says, my church needs to give, and tonight they need to give to you. And it was a real good lesson. So by all means, I think it's good for the church to pay their pastor. Whether it's good for the pastor or not, it's good for the church to pay the pastor. And I could take you to the very year. I could take you to the income statement, if you will. I know that's kind of a corporate term. But I could take you to the income statement in our church year after year after year. And I can point to the year where the church started giving me that paying me on those vacation times. I could take you to that year, and I could show you how our income those years have increased significantly because of the gift of God, and I believe God blesses. I believe God blesses the giver, whether it's an organization or whether it's a person. So, pastor, if the church wants to give to you, don't refuse it. Church, if you want to give to the pastor, by all means, if you're feeling in your heart, maybe you're just one member in the church and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I really want to bless our pastor. I really want our pastor to have a blessing. And I would like the church to pay them something. Bring it up to other church members. Bring it up to board members or decision makers. And listen, your pastor may be the lead decision maker in the church, but you've got others. When the church started giving me this vacation money, if you will, it was one brother in the church started talking to my mentor and the previous pastor, and he got him on board. And I don't think it took much, but he got him on board. And then they just preempted a business meeting we were having, say, hey, this is what we're going to do for you, pastor. And I was kind of behind the eight ball, and I didn't know it was coming, and it was there. So maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm just one member. What can I input into this? Just find those key people in the church and start talking to them. Start explaining to them your heart and your vision and your mind. I don't think usually you'll have problems. Church, maybe your leaders and those involved in the finances, maybe you're looking at it and thinking to yourself, well, we just can't afford to pay our pastor. It's just not in the budget. We don't have enough money. I've found very often that when you start giving, God works through that, honors you in that, and it, miraculously God does a work. And so sometimes you just got to step out in faith and trust God to do what he really wants to do through you. And so if you are from the church I pastor and you're listening to this, this is by no means a pleading for payment. I think the two offerings or the two gifts that the church gives me is incredible. One more full disclosure before we launch into my mindset on this is I don't understand the tax implications, and I don't understand the structure of payment or how those things go. So you may want to consider calling or talking to an accountant, a tax person, and ask them. If your church isn't into paying and you're not used to a payroll type scenario, you may want to ask them how to frame this. The church, the offerings the church gives to me is on a gift-giving basis. At that point, it becomes my responsibility to claim that as discretionary income at the end of the year. And so I know there's some of you out there that says, no, it's for church, don't get taxed. And some of you say, you better pay your taxes on it. You can file for this or file for that, and you won't have to pay taxes. But guaranteed, there's no reason to incur unneeded expenses. Maybe it is completely tax-free and all these, but get the counsel of a tax professional. It is cheaper to get the counsel of a tax professional on the front end than to wait until the IRS starts making trouble, and you may be completely in your rights. You might be dead to rights in what you're doing, but I just tend to have a feeling that anytime a government official or government agency gets involved in it, you're going to cost even more to prove you're right than if you would have just taken care of all the necessities ahead of time. So do your due diligence, check into it, and go from there. But don't let these things discourage you from receiving the pay from the church or for paying the pastor. The Bible starts a concept out, and I know it's the law, and some people are rolling their eyes and saying, it's not applicable today. The concepts and precepts in the law are applicable today. And the Bible says in the law not to muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn. If he's out there working, if he's out there laboring, let him eat. Let him eat. Let him do. Let him have a portion of what he's giving. Otherwise, the ox will wear away and you won't have anything. And he says in another place, the workman is worthy of his hire. And so I'll be honest, I sure enjoy at this stage in my life of not being paid as a pastor, because I can speak to a lot of things monetarily wise into the lives of the people sitting in the congregation without worrying about them thinking, yeah, well, you just want my money, because I benefit nothing from the tithes and offerings that come into the church, except for those two times a year. And if that's going to stand between me and being able to minister, then I'll forbear it. I won't even take it. As a matter of fact, one of those times usually goes towards renting a vehicle to take kids down to youth camp in. And so, that's fine. I'll forbear it. I love the freedom of being able to speak openly and honestly. So if you're not paid, and you're making it, and life is good for you, don't worry about it. Just keep giving and keep giving. God will reward you, and God will honor you in due season. Until then, give all you can and give all you are to the ministry, and let God take care of the rest. And so a lot of back and forth in this. I think it's a blessing for the church to be able to pay the pastor, and I think it's a blessing for the pastor to be willing to labor for free. I think it's a great thing both ways. I do not like a church that is just looking for an employee to fill the pulpit. Nor do I like a pastor that is just looking for a job and figures that preaching fits within his zone of comfort and that he just might as well, it's a job. Those are two things I don't want. But in the right spirit and in a good attitude, it's a great thing to be able to pay your pastor. My prayer and my hope is in the next 8 years, I can actually retire from my employer. I got a 30 and out type retirement. I'll still be a young man. And my hope is that I can become more full-time as pastor. If God doesn't call me to it before then, full-time as pastor, and if we have enough resources to bring in another staff person, then the church can pay them, and I'll just take off my retirement. And so who knows what'll happen. God has it in control, and God has the future. But I think it would be awesome to be able to pastor my entire career and God take care of my needs outside of the church. Of course, maybe God says, I want to bless the church through their giving of you. You see how many things this can tangle into a decision of whether you pay your pastor or not. So go into this and enter into that decision prayerfully. Prayerfully. I don't think it would be wrong for any church to be willing to pay them at a small level, just to honor them, even if it isn't. Because as I walked out of that business meeting, my first thought was, I don't need the money. I wish they wouldn't have done that. And then as I thought on it a little bit more into that evening, my mind went to, and quite frankly, it gets a little embarrassing standing in front and talking about how much church has paid me when others in the church volunteer quite often too, and quite a bit too. But later that evening, I'm sitting there in the house, and I realize that the church wants me and appreciates me enough that they want to pay me to do what I do. And when that hit me, I can't say there were tears in my eyes or a lump in my throat, but it meant the world to me. The money was one thing, that's fine. And it is appreciated, don't get me wrong. It does come in handy. Usually it comes at the right time. It is appreciated. But the knowledge that the church loves me enough to give that to me. About 3 or 4 years later, after they voted that in, I offered to rescind the offer and just to not take it anymore. And the church, several in the church actually got a little bit offended. And no. You take this. And so that was awesome. What I do want to speak to today is a few models which you may want to consider when paying a pastor. Maybe you're looking around at one another and it's time to decide to pay a pastor. You're looking around and saying, all right, how do we decide how much to pay him? Well, first of all, if you're small like we are, the church could not support me unless God supernaturally intervened, which he absolutely could. But unless God called them to, I wouldn't recommend that they do that. And so it may be more of a percentage of what the total income that comes into the church is. That may just be. But barring that and assuming that the church is doing well enough and you can pay for a pastor, and then you, I find four different ways, and money's not so much of an issue. I find four different ways to models to pay him by. And I wrote them kind of in order of least like what I like the least to what I like the best. Kinda, there's the middle two maybe flipped any time of my mindset, but the first one, I'll be honest, I don't care for it much. And I understand by the time you get 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 plus people in your church, maybe you have to go this route. But it feels so much like a corporate, so much like a church looking for an employee and a pastor looking for a job. And I just don't like that feel. I'm not speaking against it. If this is where you're at, I'm not speaking against it. But maybe you need to consider the model. And that's the model is paying the pastor what he's being paid just because he's worth it. Well, let's sit down and negotiate a salary and all these kind of things. I get it. And I understand that's probably the easiest way to do it. But then you're in an employee and employer relationship. And then so what happens a year from now when my contract is up? Do I say, hey, look, I could go somewhere else for this much, and if you don't pay me this much, what kind of unity is there in that? Just because he's worth it, kind of mentality. Well, he can command $100,000, so we pay him $105,000 just because we want to keep him. That's okay if you need to do that. Or maybe you're in a denomination and the denomination says, okay, well, the pastor comes in your church. They get X amount of money per how many households are in your church. Again, that kind of feels like a just because he's worth it mentality. And in those mentalities, I just don't like the employee mindset. I understand to the government and tax time and all that stuff. That's what we are. That's an option in this model to pay by. It's absolutely my least favorite model of pay. If that's who you are and that's where you're at, I'm not running you down. I'm giving you a personal opinion. Number two, living expenses plus a small income. I kind of like this one. I know one gentleman, it works really well for him. His household. The house is paid for. All of the utilities are paid for. There's an agreement on what utilities are paid for. Probably his insurance, health insurance is paid for, probably a lot of those kind of living expenses. I believe his vehicles are paid for, insurance on his vehicle, homeowner's insurance is paid for. Also, his possessions inside the home, I guess, would go under his homeowner's insurance. All that's paid for. His small income would take care of living expenses, him buying clothes, him buying food, different things like that, sending the kids to college, all these kind of things are just a small income above and beyond, a couple $200-$300 a week above and beyond his living expenses. And that's kind of a cool way to go. If his expenses go up, then it's covered. If they go down, it's covered. If he wants some discretionary spending, he's going to have to save for it. If he wants to buy some books, if he wants to buy, you know, whatever, those things are paid for. And there has to be a lot of upfront understanding. Yes, your vehicles are paid for. We're only giving you one for you and for your wife. If your kids start driving, you need to pay that. You need to pay their extra insurance, et cetera, et cetera. There has to be a lot of fine line details ahead of time. Otherwise, there could be a lot of hurt feelings. That might be why I list this number two, because of how many item details you need to have in, and I hate to say the contract, but in this sense, you need to know, okay, we're not paying cable for ESPN. We'll pay basic package. If you want upgrade, you have to, you know, all these things are going to have to be worked through with a fine-tooth comb. Again, it starts to feel like a negotiation, but it's also a clearly defined way to do it. I kind of like that model, except for how much detail. Number three, and like I said, two and three can be flipped. I'm still not sure I'm completely sold on this model. It's based under the Old Testament law, and I've seen it, but I struggle with it. And essentially, it's the model that says the pastor gets the tithe and the church gets the offering. So the pastor gets the tithe and the church gets the offering. Okay, I could see it to an extent. By the time you get 10 households tithing, now all of a sudden the pastor gets what each household is. But then when you start to go to 20 households, now the pastor's getting double what the average household in the church is getting. Three times 30 households, 40 households. What do you do if you got 100 households in your church paying tithes? Pastor's getting that much more. I struggle with the tithe part of it. I see merit behind it. I think if the pastor takes the tithe, he ought to take on some responsibility of paying for some things in the church also. Maybe some pet programs he has or whatever. And the offering should just be for the maintenance of the church. And if the pastor wants to build a bigger church, maybe he needs to run that off of the tithe. And I don't think I fully understand that model. And because of that, I think I try to stay out of it. However, if your church is looking at that model, considering putting on some of the, not the maintenance, the maintenance 100%. I see that in the scripture where the maintenance 100% comes out of the offerings. But if the pastor wants to add to the church, grow a program, add a program, maybe he should consider funding that. Those are just some ideas I'm throwing around. It may offend some of you that says, no, that's not what scripture says. Scripture says this, so we ought to do it that way. At the same time, though, consider Ananias and Sapphira. Peter looked at both of them and said, when the money was in your hand, it was yours to do with as you wished, as you pleased. Somebody told me one time I should not be paying tithes into the church, that the tithe is mine anyway, and I should just, if they couldn't, they were baffled why I paid tithes. And finally, I stopped debating the merits of scripture. Finally, I looked at them and says, okay, so the tithe is mine to do with what I want to anyways? And they said, yes. I said, okay, well, I want to give it back to the church. And they kind of looked at me, and it was kind of a touche moment. They says, oh, well, I guess if it's yours to do what you want to, go ahead. And so that was kind of a funny touche moment. But that being said, look into that deeply. Do a deep dive study into what the law is saying, not only the specific words, but the heart behind it. What was God trying to do? Of course, the Levites didn't have their own inheritance. They didn't have another way of necessarily. Now, it came later, I understand this, but in the time of the wilderness, as they were growing as a nation, they didn't have so much chance of making an income. So that helped with that. The last one, and I love this one, I heard it from somebody else. It said an average, this person said that the pastor should make an average of what the households in the church make. I like that. I've amended that as I've considered on it. I think the pastor should make an average of what the working households in the church make. Of course, this one and number three, the tithe, this requires that the church knows the income of its people. It's a little intrusive. I've yet to feel comfortable asking the people in the church how much money they make. I don't regulate tithes. That's between them and God. Somebody told me one day, they says, well, I bet you know how much we make because you could see it in our tithing. And I says, well, no, because I don't know if you tithe completely, and I don't know if some of that is your offering. So no, I don't know how much you make. And so, because some people put their tithe and offerings into one. Otherwise, if you're going to average the church's income, then you need to know what it is. But not just the income, because you'll have some unemployed, and that's zero. That's going to drop your average way down. You're going to have some retired folks. It's going to drop your average. You're going to have some whatever. It's got to be working households. And so an average of the working households. As I'm considering this podcast, I amended it one step further. Now, this is still new to me within the last week or two as I was kind of making notes for the podcast. But not only should you have the average of the working households, but maybe you should have the average of persons in that household. So let me explain. I make a real good income. I make more than two income families make. Okay, so I make a good income, and I don't, but let's just throw it out there. I make $100,000 a year. I am breaking a cardinal rule of speaking to people. I am doing math on the fly. So if my math is wrong, you get the concept. I'm making $100,000 a year, say. I've got, I've got six, but just so that I don't have to do harsh math, let's just say I have five in my family. That's an average of $20,000 per person. However, a family of two, just a husband and his wife, they're making $80,000 together because it's a dual family. Now, all of a sudden, they're making $40,000 per person in their household. I make more than them per household, but they make more than me per person in household. So mine is $20,000, theirs is $40,000 per person. So if I was to leave my job, and or if we were to pay a pastor, that would be $60,000. That would be an average of $30,000 per person. So if the pastor has three people in his household, then maybe he should get $90,000 a year, and that's an average of the household working households, and an average of what each person in the working household is in essence getting paid or what their household is paying for that. So I hope that makes sense to you. You take an average income of working households and you take that average and how many people are in that household. So you do it per household. How many people are in that household? You find an average of what each person in that household, what that household is making for each person in that household. And then you average that out throughout the entire church. And it's a little complex. It's a little bit to go through. But I think then you have kind of and I hate this word. I absolutely hate this word. But you have more of a fair. It's an emotional word, and I hate this word. However, if I'm sitting out in the congregation, and I'm working 50 and 60 hours a week, and I'm making $40,000 a year, and I look up to my pastor who's up behind the pulpit making $300,000 a year just pastoring the church, and it's hard work, I'm holding some resentment about him. I know this is true because I hear it from people in and out of church all the time. And the ones in church struggle with it, and the ones out of church just want to throw stones anyways. But what a struggle. What a struggle. As people look at me as not being paid, I have an integrity that I've worked for everything I have. Now, God's good to me, and I have had gifts, and I've had all those things. I get that. But I've worked for everything I have. I have that integrity. I have a little bit of pride in that. But as if the church is paying me, I also want to stand up there with integrity that I'm not just lining my pockets. I am with them. I have the same struggles as them. I have the same problems as them. God thought that was important enough to send Jesus to this earth that he may struggle just like we do also. Listen, I just looked down at the time and realized I am over 30 minutes already. Let me throw this one more thing out there. As you're paying a pastor, or as you're bringing a pastor on board, I hear a lot of it lately, and I want to talk about parsonage versus housing allowance. Now, if you're doing living expense plus small income, you can still do this. Parsonage versus housing allowance. As a pastor, 100% of the times I want to take the housing allowance. 100% of the time. As a church, I don't see much difference in it. Now, if the parsonage is attached to the, if I understand the law right, if the parsonage is attached to the church property, they don't have to pay property taxes on that. That may be a little advantageous for the church. Other than that, I don't see any benefit of the church owning that property, I guess, once it's paid off. But listen, you don't want to leave your pastor 20, 30, 40 years from now with no retirement and no house. Give the pastor housing allowance. We will pay you X amount a month for a house. You can buy a bigger house than that, add to that amount. You can buy a smaller house than that, pocket the rest of it, but we'll give you this much a month towards your house. Then 30, 40 years from now, if that pastor is moving on, retiring, whatever, they have their house they own. The church gave them an allowance. If they don't want to buy their own house, they don't want to own their own house, then they can rent. Either way, it's their choice, but they'll have something at the end. And so it's just something to consider. It's another way for the church to bless the pastor. And so by all means, consider the tax implications in that also. Listen, I sure appreciate you taking your time and listening to this. This is a hot topic. I said earlier that I hate that word. It's not fair. And I tried to illustrate. Maybe I didn't illustrate it so well. But this is a very emotional topic for those paying and for those receiving. Step outside of the emotions. Make some analytical decisions. Make some decisions that's best for your church. Consider it. Think on it. Pray on it. Pray on it. Church, try to bless your pastor as much as you can. Pastor, try to honor the church and bless the church as much as you can. And if you both have that heart and that mindset, I think it's going to go well. By all means, honor them, pay them. But this is an emotional topic. People are going to get offended. Somebody's going to get offended when you deal with paying a pastor. It's just going to happen. Make sure you have everything detailed. Make sure you have everything in line and in order so that it works out well. I thank you so much for listening. I'd love to hear from you at smallchurchmentor@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. My goal this weekend or next is to update my Facebook and make it a viable working Facebook page. I'd love for some interaction on my Small Church Mentor Facebook page. Find me on smallchurchmentor.com. We are on iTunes. If you've heard this through a different venue, we are on iTunes. Just search for Small Church Mentor. Everything works out well. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. God bless.